Dear Dhamma friends, we have come to the Sutta teaching session. So before we begin the session, we pay homage to the Buddha. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Dear Dhamma friends, we have concluded basically last time about Mahasunyata Sutta, the sutta discussing about the great emptiness. And there we discuss how one may develop, particularly based on the insight meditation, how one reach the emptiness practice. And after reaching that, how to increase that or improve that and then dwell in emptiness. So after discussing those suttas, I thought of getting to a new topic, and that is called Salayatana Vibhanga Sutta, which is available in Majjhima Nikaya. And we can say this is the kind of discourse which is discussing about sixfold sense bases. So sense bases are another teaching that Buddha is explaining. Like he explains five aggregates. Now different types of explanations or different descriptions are given regarding our experience and our so-called human nature. And one exposition is what we call the five aggregates, five khanda, pancha khanda, where the emphasis is given for the mentality part. There are four aggregates discussing about the mental side, the mind aspects, and one aggregate discussing about the physical side. Rupakkhanda, the rupa or the form aggregate, discuss about the materiality. And then the Vedana, feeling, Sanya, perceptions. Then Sankhara, the formations, and Vijnana, the consciousness. So those four aggregates are dealing about the mental aspects. On the other hand, when we consider the sixfold sense bases, there are much emphasis is given for the physical side, where five components are dealing about five senses, five physical senses, and one component is dealing about the mental side. That is, say for example, eye, ear, nose, tongue, body. So those five are dealing about the physical side with their corresponding counterparts, or the outside elements, outside sense bases. And then the last one, that is the mind and the mind objects, are dealing with the mental side. So certain people actually require these different kinds of expositions, explanations, because their attachment is quite different. Some are entangled mentally to various aspects in the mind, so they need fair classification, fair description, more information about the mind. So they need to clarify those things. They need to remove whatever the doubts, perplexities regarding the mind. But for certain others, actually the problem lies in the physical side. So sometimes they really like the body and they really give more emphasis to the body. They consider more about the body as a self, a person. The body is myself. So such kind of wrong view has to be eliminated by systematic understanding of the bodily components. And for that, Buddha described various teachings. Say for example, in Satipatthana Sutta, you know that 32 parts of the body is explained, so that one would be able to understand in one sense about the anatomy of the body, and on the other hand, about the lonesomeness of the body. And when one reaches further into the elements meditation, more and more subtle aspects of the body, one can be able to recognize practically, not just through theory. Even through practically, one can recognize the operation of four elements. And when it comes to these six sense bases, another analysis is going on regarding the body and the mind. And there are fair amount of understanding here in Salayatana Vibhanga Buddha tried to give us. So that is what we are going to explain or discuss. is much relevant to our practice, and again to eliminate whatever the self view we have related to the body. Now if we consider the sutta now, so Buddha himself directly start explaining this sutta. Sometimes there are certain situations or certain incidents. Due to that incident, Buddha starts preaching. But here, Buddha, without any particular incident, Buddha seems to have thought that this information are quite useful to the monks. So therefore, he started explaining about six sense bases. So sixfold base. So this is six sense bases are the main category, and around that there are many other categories are explained. And here the salayatana vibhanga. Vibhanga means the exposition, and salayatana are the six sense bases, sixfold base. And now Buddha explaining one by one. So actually at the beginning Buddha give some sort of a summary or the titles of the whole sutta. There he mentioned there are six internal bases should be understood, and then six external bases should be understood, then six classes of consciousness has to be understood, then six classes of contact should be understood, the 18 kinds of mental exploration should be understood, then 36 positions of beings should be understood. So these are in a way the expositions explained in this sutta. Internal bases, external sense bases, their corresponding consciousness, their contacts, and then the resultant mental explorations, and how beings sort of located or whereabout in 36 ways. And after mentioning that, he is considering there are three foundations of mindfulness, which is completely different from the four foundations of mindfulness described in Satipatthana Sutta. So here we come across another type of three foundations of mindfulness, particularly related to the teachers. And then Buddha mentioned that he is kind of the person with those three mindfulness bases, and therefore he is incomparable teacher. So this is just a brief introduction to the sutta, and then he is going one by one explaining each aspect what he has described. So six internal bases should be understood. So this is the first statement. So this is the first theoretical part we need to understand, and this is already most probably most of us are aware of. Actually all these things are within ourselves, so these are not very philosophical, very dogmatic kind of teachings. Rather, this we are Buddha talking about of ourselves, what we call as me, myself, I, he, himself, or you, yourself, and all these things we can categorize, we can explain once we understand these theoretical explanations. So therefore these are not outside of ourselves, rather they are well connected to ourselves. So six internal sense bases are nothing but eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, and the mind. And there we call them as a sense base, because based on that, so we operate with the outside. We sort of communicate with the outside. We deal with the outside. And not only that, based on that, we are continuing our thinking, proliferation, and the whole episode is blooming out because of these sense bases. So eye sense base, ear sense base, nose sense base, tongue sense base, body sense base, and the mind sense base. And we'll explain slowly about certain different aspects of these things. And then Buddha get on to the outside sense bases or external sense bases. So there are the corresponding sense bases are there. So for example, for eye sense base, the corresponding outside sense base or the external sense base is forms or sights. For ear, the outside external sense base is the sounds. And for the nose, outside sense base is the odor. Then for tongue, outside sense base is the flavors or the tastes. Then for the body, external sense base, the corresponding external sense base is the tangibles or the tactile sensations. And for the mind, the external sense base is the mind objects. So typically, when we consider form, sounds, smells, odors, or smells, then tastes, and then the tangibles, so we can recognize them as completely external, and they are sort of dealing with our internal sense bases through their apparatus. But on the other hand, when we consider mind and the mental objects, we feel them like they both are like internal. But here for the classification, we can understand the mind and the mental objects. We can consider as two separate things. And mind is one form, we can say, which is cognizing, knowing. And to that knowing, there are certain external phenomena coming up, popping up. And those we consider as mental objects. And that part is quite interesting, because it has certain additional features when compared with the previous sense bases. Now, the other one Buddha now going to explain are the sixfold consciousness, which are actually being conditioned because of the corresponding sense base, actually the internal sense base and the external sense base. Say for example, when we consider eye consciousness, the two prerequisites for eye consciousness to arise is eye and the form. So when eye and form is available, and on top of that when light and the attention is also available, then there are the possibility of eye consciousness to arise. So we can understand this eye consciousness is completely a dependent phenomena. It is not something self-sustaining or self-arisen phenomena. Rather, it is something completely a dependent phenomena. If there is no form, there can't be any eye consciousness. If there is no eye, there can't be any eye consciousness. Again, if there is no light, there can't be any eye consciousness. Again, if there are no attention, still there is no eye consciousness. So therefore, at least these four conditions are to be satisfied in order for the eye consciousness to arise. So all these things in a way very much like science, where certain components are there. When they happen all together at the same instance, when their presence is there, then the corresponding result may arise. So we are talking in a way about the cause and effect, paticca-samuppada. So eye and the form are the most important two factors causing eye consciousness. This light and the attention are also necessary. And similarly, if we consider ear consciousness, sounds and the ear are a must to arise ear consciousness. And again, there are the attention also needed, and some sort of medium is also needed for the sound to transmit. All those four requisites are needed. So among them, ear and the sound are essential. And on the other hand, if we consider nose and the smells, so nose and the odors, so those two are prerequisites, are a must to arise nose consciousness. And similarly, the attention also has to be there, and again a medium should be there. Then if we come to the tongue and taste, or tongue and flavor, are must in order to arise tongue consciousness. Attention also should be there, and again a medium should be there. If we consider the body and the tangibles are a must to arise body consciousness. And again, actually, this consciousness, actually we'll come to that later. So body and the tangibles are necessary to arise body consciousness. Again, the attention should be there, and the touching has to happen. So likewise, certain prerequisites are there for the consciousness to arise. Interesting part is mind and mind objects. When mind and mind objects are there, the mind consciousness arises. And for the mind consciousness, we can say name and form, nama rupa, are also necessary. But anyway, the most important part is the mind and the mental object. Then the mind consciousness arises. Now these things actually explored or explained in the Sutta Pitaka. Say for example, in Dutiya Dvayang Sutta, Buddha mentioned that each and every consciousness arises due to two reasons mainly. So that is the eye and the form necessary for the eye consciousness, ear and sound necessary for ear consciousness, nose and smell necessary for nose consciousness, then tongue and flavor necessary for tongue consciousness, body and tangibles necessary for body consciousness, mind and mental objects are necessary for mind consciousness. So this terminology, if we consider the consciousness, eye consciousness, ear consciousness, nose consciousness, tongue consciousness, body consciousness, mind consciousness, so they are termed or labeled depending on their corresponding faculty, corresponding place. And on certain other suttas, Buddha explained that like a fire kindled because of certain raw material or different kinds of fuel, so and then it is termed based on that fuel. For example, if there is a fire because of say fuel, say petrol or diesel or whatever it is, then we can call it as a petrol fire. If there is a fire because of wood, then we can call it as a wood fire. If there is a fire arising due to some other reason, so we can call it, suppose there is a bush fire because of various trees, bushes, then we call it a bushfire. So depending on that fuel, the constituent, the corresponding or the resultant fire is named. Similarly, Buddha mentioned, so eye and form are the prerequisites. Depending on their name, the eye consciousness is named. So likewise, these are in a way for easy understanding and for us to classify the whole situation. Actually, we don't know these things. We simply go through the whole process without much knowledge, and we consider ourselves as a person, myself, I am. So those are in a way the wrong understanding or wrong views we basically have. And now Buddha is trying to explain what is really going on without just being trapped in the experience. Rather, now Buddha is trying to analyze what is internally happening, what are the fundamental reasons, going to the most preliminary states. And then Buddha explains about the contact. Now, if we consider eye and the form, the eye consciousness happen, and this generation of eye consciousness happen again and again. So it's a very rapid process. It may not take long time, it doesn't even take a second or millisecond to arise eye consciousness. It's very rapid, extremely rapid. So when eye and form is there, when they come in line, and when the attention is available, when the light is available, the eye consciousness arise immediately. So this arise again and again. For the second time eye consciousness arise, for the third time eye consciousness arise, for the fourth time eye consciousness arise. So what happens is we feel like eye consciousness is available even with the eye and form. We forget that eye consciousness is dependently arisen because it is available. It is readily available. If we actually forget and we miss in a way the complete operation. And on the other hand, in certain other suttas, Buddha explained that the operation of the eye consciousness being hindered or being covered because of craving. In Majjhe Sutta, for example, the external sense bases and the internal sense bases are the two extremes or two ends. In middle are the consciousness. But the operation or the availability or the presence of consciousness is very much covered because of craving. The craving always binds ourselves with the internal and external bases, forgetting about the operation of consciousness. Now that is why in a way we can see that Buddha is trying to explain us what is really going on, going more deeper, going more to the fundamental levels. Now when I and form are there, then the I consciousness arises. When it is happening repeatedly, we feel like all these three are present. Now when these three are present, quickly available, then the eye contact is going to happen. So eye contact also therefore is conditioned. For the eye contact to arise, those three conditions are necessary: eye form and eye consciousness. Since they are happening almost together, then we call it as eye contact. Similarly, when ear sound are there, the ear consciousness arise. When it is happening repeatedly, all these three are available, and as a result of that, ear contact going to arise. Sota sampassa. And when consider the nose and smells, so nose and odors are available, then the nose consciousness arise. These things are arising again and again repeatedly. Therefore, all these three are present altogether. And as a result of that, when they are available together, we call it the nose contact, Ghana Sampassa. And if we come to the tongue and the flavors are available, as a result of that, the tongue consciousness arise, and these three are happening again and again. As a result of that, the tongue contact, Jiva Sampassa, going to be available. And tactile sensations and the body are available, and as a result of that, the body consciousness is available, and it is happening repeatedly. So altogether we call it as body contact. When mind and mind objects are available, mind consciousness arises, it is happening repeatedly, we call it as mind contact or mano sampassa. Now I like to show this in a diagram like this, so it is easy to understand. Now hope you can see the diagram. So six internal bases. So they are the eye, ear, nose, tongue, body and the mind. So they are, we can call it them as in, sorry Jennifer.
Okay, now we can see the diagram before we were just looking at the PDF.
I see.
Also, Bhante, I think the internet connection is breaking up on your side.
I see. What to do then? Actually, I have no control over that, Jennifer. Maybe, is it all right now?
It's not too bad. It just comes in and out.
I see.
So, yeah, if there's nothing else that can be
done. Yeah, because I hope I can continue with the present situation. Do you want me to change it and see? I am a bit doubtful about it, by the way. Can you hear me, Jennifer?
I think it's okay to continue, Bhante.
Right, right.
Yeah, just speak slowly.
Okay. fine. So as shown in the diagram, so six internal bases, eye, ear, nose, tongue, body and mind. So those are the six internal sense bases. And there are corresponding external bases as well. For eye, the form, ear, sound, nose, smell, tongue, taste, body, touch, and mind, dhamma. Well, the interesting part is about the mind. If we consider all these six phenomena, eye can only deal with form, ear can only deal with sound, nose can only deal with smell, tongue can only deal with taste, body can only deal with tangibles. For example, ear can't deal with forms, ear can't deal with smells, ear can't deal with taste, ear can't deal with touches, but it can deal only with sounds. Similarly, eye can't deal with sounds, can't recognize smells, can't recognize taste, can't recognize touches, it can only recognize forms. So likewise, if we consider these five internal sense bases, their operation is very limited. So they have their corresponding counterpart, external sense base, that's all. They are not mixing up. But when we consider the mind, so its main object is Dhamma, that is the mental objects. And actually it has some components coming from forms, sounds, smells, tastes and touches. And internally generated mental objects as well. So therefore, we can say mind can operate on all six, not only mental objects. So these mental objects can have certain signs, imprints coming from forms, coming from sounds, coming from smells, coming from tastes, and coming from touches. So therefore, the operation of mind is more complicated, and therefore, it is sometimes analyzed more in more detail in Abhidhamma, talking about different mental processes, Chitta Viti. So likewise, there are the operation of mind is little complicated. But on the other hand, we don't need to go much into detail, because as insight practitioners, what we need to know is how to recognize different signs appear in the mind, different thoughts appear in the mind, different emotions appear in the mind. And the requirement is to purify the mind. And we learn all these things, all these theories, even though they appear like more profound or more detailed, ultimately we have to throw away. So that is something that we like to highlight, because all these knowledge are there for us to understand ourselves and ultimately to leave it aside and keep the mind very clean, very purified, quite lighter, free from any perceptions, free from any signs. So therefore, knowledge should not be available for arguments or any kind of a debate. Rather, it is for us to purify our minds. So therefore, Buddha's teaching, especially Buddha mentioned, are there for the purification, are there for the crossing over to the other shore. And therefore, we don't need to go extreme details. Rather, if we can understand, at least in the fundamental level, that how it is happening, and we are able to be mindful about what is going on in the mind particularly, and then we can purify the mind. So that is the most important thing. And when eye and form are there, the eye consciousness arise, ear and sound cause to ear consciousness to arise, nose and smell causes to nose consciousness to arise, tongue and taste cause to tongue consciousness to arise, body and touch cause to body consciousness to arise, and mind and Dhamma cause to arise mind consciousness. So there are six classes of consciousness. And similarly, when all these three are present all together, the eye contact arise. Similarly, the ear contact, nose contact, tongue contact, body contact, mind contact. Actually, I like to combine here another sutta where Buddha explained the operation of six sense bases with a very beautiful simile. That sutta is called Chappanaka Sutta, available in Anguttara Nikaya. Available in Salayatana Samyutta. Another area dealing with six sense bases. So, there Buddha explained the typical mundane operation of six sense bases are like six animals. And these six animals are quite different. And the animals mentioned by the Buddha are snake, crocodile, bird, a dog, a fox, and a monkey. Now, if we consider the snake, snake resides in a snake hill, ants hill, and therefore it is always trying to go there. If there is any kind of a danger, it is always going to this ants hill. So that is his dwelling place. And his behavior is quite different, and the way it is walking is quite different, how he is moving is quite different, and we know it is a serpent. So the snake is one animal Buddha is considering. And the other one is a crocodile. Oh. I was disconnected. Hope now you can hear me.
Yes, Bhante, now you're back. But we do not see the screen sharing.
Can you see now? Can you see the screen now?
On my side is still... Okay, it just loaded.
Okay. Right, it seems like internet has some issues. Person can now see your application. Okay. Now, Buddha is talking, explaining these six sense bases with a very beautiful simile. Those are, that is what I was explaining. It is available in Chappanaka Sutta. The different kinds of animals. The first animal Buddha is taking is the snake. So a snake, if we consider its dwelling place is the ants hill. And always if there is any danger, it is going to this ants hill. Now Buddha explains the operation of six sense bases with a very interesting simile that is related to six animals. And their behavior are quite different. The animals' behavior are quite different, and the animals taken therefore are completely different animals. Now the animals Buddha have taken are snake, crocodile, bird, and then dog, fox, and a monkey. So you can see all animals are entirely different. If we consider snake, its dwelling place is the ant hill, and whenever there is a danger, or if it wants to take a rest, it will go into the ant's hill. And then crocodile, on the other hand, dwelling in the water. And if there is any danger, or if he want to take a nap, he's going to the down deep into the water. And its prey also is different. And if we consider the bird, so bird's dwelling place, or we can see its the movements are in the sky. So always it prefers to stay in the sky. So if there is any danger, it quickly fly to the sky. And the dog, on the other hand, it prefers to stay in a village or in a house. So therefore, it's always going towards a village. It doesn't want to stay in a forest or in the water. Rather, it wants to go to a village. Now, fox, on the other hand, Buddha mentioned, it eats carcasses. So as a result of that, it likes to stay or dwell in a cemetery. And the monkey, on the other hand, it always wants to jump one branch to the other branch, so it likes to stay in the forest. So its dwelling place is the forest. Now, the simile Buddha explained is that somehow we bind all these animals from their neck, and the other end or other end of the rope what we have used are bound together. So hope you can understand what the simile is mentioning. So say for example, snake is bound to a rope, then crocodile is bound to a rope, bird is bound to a rope, dog is bound to a rope, fox is bound to a rope, and the monkey is bound to a rope, and the other end are bound together. So now there's an interesting situation. Now all six are trying to pull to their different sides. And Buddha mentioned, now whenever snake is powerful, then everyone is being driven to the ant's hillside, because the snake likes to stay in the ant's hill. So everybody, without their consent, without their like, they are being driven, dragged towards the ant's hill because the snake is more powerful. On the other hand, whenever the crocodile is more powerful, all the other five animals are being drawn towards the water because now crocodile is going towards the water. When bird is more powerful, it is now flying towards the sky by dragging all the other five animals. So you can imagine kind of a picture how the operation is happening, how these six animals are struggling or fighting. Whenever the dog is more powerful, it is dragging everyone towards the village, even though the other animals have their own wishes, have their own dwelling places. But unfortunately, now the dog is more powerful, now it is dragging everyone towards the village. Now, whenever fox is more powerful, it is dragging everyone towards the cemetery. Even though others don't want, they are helpless. Whenever the monkey is more powerful, it is dragging everyone towards the forest, even though others don't want it. Now, Buddha mentioned this is the typical untrained behavior of the six sense bases. Now we can see this is the untrained, that is very important. So this is a typical behavior. Now these six animals, now Buddha very much analogs to six sense bases. The operation of snake is very much like the operation of eye. Operation of crocodile is very much like the operation of ear. Operation of bird, very much like the operation of nose. Operation of dog is very much, or the behavior of dog is very much like the operation of the tongue. The behavior of the fox is very much like the operation of the body. And the behavior of the monkey, and that is very easy to understand. The behavior of the monkey jumping from one object to the other object is very much like the operation of the mind. Now, when we consider the six sense bases, they are operating like these six animals. Whenever one is more powerful, towards that powerful faculty, we are being driven. Say, for example, you are simply sleeping. And all of a sudden, there is a huge sound. You're being awaked and you are now frightened. And now you are driving towards the sound. So that is what that old story in the forest happened. That there is a fruit being dropped closer to a rabbit. So rabbit got awakened and he was so frightened, thinking that the sky is falling. Now it starts to run. So similarly, at this moment, the sound is more powerful, ear is more threatened. So towards that direction, all the other things are working. So therefore, at a given moment, one of these faculties are active in a way. But because of their extreme rapid behavior, we feel like everything is happening simultaneously. But it is very much like switching happening between these sense bases. At a given moment, one is more powerful, and to that we are giving more prominence. While say eating, probably we may be giving more prominence to the taste because the tongue is in full operation. It is the task it starts being given more prominence. Suppose we are watching kind of a scenery. Probably even when someone else is talking, we can't even hear that, because we are so indulging with seeing, with sightseeing, or with enjoying through our eyes. Or if we are hearing something, assume that you are hearing a song. Probably you even close your eyes to fully indulge in that sound. And all the other senses are very much like passive. And at this moment, this ear is the most powerful. So likewise, you can understand these sense bases are taking chances or taking the turns and operating depending on the intensity of their input coming from the outside. The forms, sounds, smells, tastes, tactile sensations and the mind objects. So they are, depending on their intensity, we are being driven towards that side. Now this is how our cells are being operated. Now actually, just to give some outside information, I like to connect this with the just to continue the other part of Chappanaka Sutta. And there Buddha mentioned, rather than allowing these six sense bases to operate like this, the more vulnerable, more ungovernable way, so now Buddha help us to sort of restrain those six sense bases. The remedy or the solution he is proposing is mindfulness. So instead of binding all these six animals together, now the alternative Buddha suggesting is bind everyone to a strong post. Snake is bound to the post, then the crocodile is bound to the post, bird is bound to the post, dog is bound to the post, fox is bound to the post, and the monkey is bound to the post. Now, when everyone is bound to a very strong post, even though they are trying hard to go towards their most beloved places, their individual dwelling places, they can't move because they are being bound to a strong post. There Buddha mentioned this strong post is very much like our practice, mindfulness practice. Again and again, the eye is trying to pull towards sights, but we are taking our attention back to the mindfulness object, whatever the primary object. Again and again, various sounds are trying to pull ourselves, but we are taking care of not allowing that, paying more attention to the primary object. Again and again, different smells, odors are trying to take our attention, but without being interested of that, we are taking our attention back to the primary object. Again and again, sometimes different tastes are trying to take our attention, capture our attention. Without continuing that, we are trying to pay more attention to the primary object. Sometimes different tactile sensations are also trying to break our attention, catch our attention, but we are paying more attention to the selected primary object. Different thoughts may be coming, different signs may happen in the mind, but without going on to the mental proliferation, thinking, we stop there and we try to pay attention to the primary object. So primary object is the strong post. Again and again, we are using to control ourselves or to sort of restrain our mind, to restrain six sense bases. And that is the, in a way, the trainee, the person who is trying to train himself, trying to restrain himself, is operating. So therefore, in this Chappanaka Sutta, Buddha mentioned that is the behavior which is more useful, trained behavior or restrained behavior. Otherwise, we are being driven by the senses and we are very much like slaves. Wherever direction they are pulling ourselves and we being simply participating. we being simply victimized to that process. Now I think I can conclude today's Dhamma sermon with this information, and this sutta is pretty long and we can spend several days discussing this, and some more theoretical aspects are explained in this sutta, and slowly we'll go through and we'll understand the different teachings and how to incorporate those into our practice. So thank you very much for attentive listening. Now I like to open the session for questions.
Thank you, Bhante. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So if anyone is new to this group, welcome. You may ask questions by either raising your hand or you can also send them via the chat. So Bhante, hey, I guess while we wait for others with questions.
Yeah.
Is it possible that what the mind is drawn to, or the attention that it pays the most to across the six sense bases, a lot of that is based on habit.
Mm-hmm.
So I've noticed that it's not always necessarily what is the most strongest or the most powerful sense base that, you know, necessarily the mind is aware of. But there could be more subtle ones that the mind naturally gets drawn to. Is that an accurate understanding, Bhante?
Yeah, of course. Actually, the other five sense bases are supporting, and mind is the one actually doing the most interesting, most important part. So that is sometimes, actually, this is also explained in another sutta. I actually like to refer that. There is one Brahmin, actually he is a very wise person, called Unnabha Brahmana. So he once visited the Buddha, and he is asking this very much interesting question. And he has actually observed the operation of these six sense bases. So he is asking, now there are six internal sense bases, are there? Eye, ear, nose, tongue, body and the mind. And their corresponding counterparts are also there. Form, sound, smell, taste, touch and dhamma. Now, he is asking a very interesting question. Actually, what we discussed today. He is mentioning, I only can operate with forms. It can't operate with anything else. Ear can only operate with sounds. It can't operate with other things. So, likewise, they have their own separate domains. Eye has its own domain. Ear has its own domain, nose has its own domain, so likewise they have their individual private domains. So his question is, ultimately when they are operating with these different domains, with their corresponding counterparts, I mean, there is no result being captured at that level. Even though I see the forms does not stay in eye. Even though ear can listen to sounds, hear sounds, sound does not stay in the ear. Even though nose capable of knowing various smells, those smells does not operate or register in the nose. And even though the tongue is capable of recognizing different tastes, so those different tastes are not remaining in the tongue. Once you say drink some water, everything is gone. And even though we go through various sensations, tangibles through the body, so they quickly go away, they are not being registered by the body. So where are they going to be registered? Who is the one ultimately eating everything? Who is the one ultimately consuming everything? Remembering everything? So this is the question the Brahmin Unnabha is asking from the Buddha. And then Buddha mentioned mind is the one consuming the whole thing. Mind is the one remembering the whole thing. So therefore mind is most important, as you have mentioned. So even though we see certain forms through our eyes, it is just an apparatus. It is just a sensor. Eye is the external sensor, But the complete cognition part happen in the mind. Even though through ears we hear different sounds, whole cognition part happened in the mind. So ear is simply an apparatus. So you can understand similarly, the nose is simply an apparatus, and the recognition part, cognition part, completely happened in the mind. So this operation actually is not typically fully pure in the sense. It is not completely correct. So we do a lot of additions to this whole operation. Say for example, through the eyes, you see a kind of a form. And assume that a young man is looking at a young woman. So actually at the beginning, what eye captures is just the color and the shape. That's all. So once the color and the shape being captured by the eye, now that information being transmitted to the brain, so inside the brain, many functions going to happen. It inverts the image, and on top of that, it recognizes, depending on the past experience, past signs, and onto that, now this young man adding his own traits, adding its own habitual tendencies. Now for him, the picture may be very interesting. This woman may be very interesting. He wants to look again and again. So he now may be even going towards her, because he is being interested about this sight. And the feeling that he got is quite pleasant, pleasurable. So there are a lot of additions happen internally in the mind. So eye is simply capturing the image, the shape, color, but lot of processing, lot of conditioning is happening inside. So therefore, the same object seen by two people may give a different impact or different result internally to those two people. Suppose the same woman being seen by a, say, an old man, then he might not feel that interested. Probably he might think that she is very much like my daughter, my granddaughter, or something like that he may think. So therefore, the experience is completely conditioned, depending on the person. So that is the interesting part that we need to understand. So the training is therefore to recognize that conditioning part, to understand the adding part, constructing part, what we do internally, how we construct, how we prepare after we recognize the information, after we decode the information. So what you said is quite correct, Jennifer. So lot more is there to do, therefore, in this cognition part.
My question is actually related to what you said just now, as well as there are two questions. One is, if I ask you related to this answer, when you said that form and I met and conscious created, it means that conscious is created in the mind, not in the eye.
No. Consciousness is created at that very moment, but once the consciousness is created, later we do a lot of additions, multiplications, and all these conditioning part happen later. The consciousness is a kind of a momentary experience, just another moment. So it simply capture the sound, if we consider the eye consciousness, it may only capture the shape and the color, and on top of that, many other additions and all the other subscriptions, additions, multiplications, conditioning, all that happens internally at the mind. So that we can call as mind consciousness.
Okay. my other question is, now mostly in the life we do multitasking, and we that we are doing everything together. So we always think like that, you know, oh, I can do many things together. I can work, I can, while working, I can listen, and while walking, I can eat and things like that. So, but according to this, so it is not the multitasking we are doing, but it's happening so fast, so we think it is a multitasking.
Yes.
And sometimes we can find out, you know, we can feel also sometimes while we are driving the car, if somebody is talking and we listen to that, and suddenly something danger happens, so we forget about that listening, and we go to that looking, you know.
Correct.
So,
yes.
So it means we can't hear anything, even though that person was telling very important thing, but you can't hear that, and you don't. Nothing goes into your mind.
Correct.
So so one day, so every time, you know, we do something, it means only one thing at a time we can do, isn't it?
Yeah, one thing we can do at a time, but we can quickly switch. So this multitasking is nothing but switching between different tasks. So this, now this, actually the scientists have found this quick switching between tasks is harmful to the brain. So now what they are telling is, rather than doing multitasking, at least considerable period of time you spend more time in a selected task, and do it well, and do it wholeheartedly, do it with full attention, do it 100%. And then you can improve the efficiency, because your full brain is involved there. And then after a considerable period of time spending there, now you can switch to another task. And once you select that task, you spend full capacity there. Full involvement is there. And then you do a considerable task there. And then after coming to a kind of a milestone, then you switch to the other task. So what happens in the typical mundane type of multitasking is, without spending more time onto a given, any given task, we are quickly switching. So then mind can't, or the brain can't capture enough information, brain can't invest enough resources to that particular task. So therefore, fragments are being captured. So therefore, scientists have found, so this is little harmful to the brain. So quickly touching or quickly switching between different tasks, many different tasks, without giving full capacity of the brain to any of these activities. And therefore, there's a kind of a harmful effect going on in the brain. Yeah.
But actually, while listening to you, that I was thinking now, there's an instant that we talked many times in the past also with the with different Dhamma discussions, that while walking, you can, you know, while you advance in your meditation, when we are doing the walking meditation, we can see the outside things, but still we can concentrate on our walking. So
correct.
So what is happening in that kind of a moment, Bhante?
Yeah, so I mean, the walking happens habitually in a way, but we give more prominence to the touching sensation, and we neglect what we see. We are not giving more prominence to what we see, or what we hear, or what we smell, or what we even think. Rather, more emphasis is given to the primary object. Primary object is nothing but the sensations available at the foot. So that is very much like the simile, the second simile of the Buddha. So other animals are trying to say drive or take our attention to other directions, but again and again we give more prominence to the body. So here actually the body is taken more prominence, the body sensation. So body sensation is again selected at the foot at early stages. So whatever present at the foot, the body sensations available at the foot is given more prominence. So again and again we are driving or we are pulling our attention back there. We are trying to maintain our attention there without allowing other senses to operate in a vulnerable fashion.
It means actually that not that they are trying to pull us away, mm-hmm. but well, prominence are going to give the sensation of the foot.
We are giving more prominence to the sensation. Habitually we might get kind of triggering coming through the other senses, but we are neglecting them. We are very much not giving any emphasis to them. And Buddha mentioned actually Buddha mentioned after trying to pull those six animals to their own directions, ultimately they give it up because they understand the strong post is more powerful, more stronger, so they can't operate at their own wish. So therefore ultimately they tame themselves, ultimately they calm down. So that is the operation of the mindfulness. So now, say for example, different sights you may see but you are not interested, different sounds you may hear but you are not interested, different smells may be available, you are not interested, different thoughts may arise but you are not interested, but you are interested only onto the selected part, selected object. So that is the sensations happen at the foot. So that is kind of a training. So it has to happen through training. Through training we can do this. So that is the advice in a way. Through training we can train or we can restrain the faculties, the sense bases.
Thank you, Bhante.
Thank you.
You answered all my questions. Thank you very much.
Yeah, okay. Teruvan Sannai.
Bhante, while we wait to see if there's additional questions, I received an email from a yogi. She mentioned that you may have mentioned about a monthly Saturday program.
Mm-hmm.
Is there an ongoing monthly Saturday program, Bhante? And can you share the Zoom information in this chat, please?
Yeah, sure.
Or via email, whichever is easiest.
Yeah. So actually, monthly Saturday program... actually, one happened at Nisarnavanaya, organized by Mr. Lakmal, and another happened through Zoom, organized by Ms. Shalika. So, actually, I think the Saturday Zoom program I'll share with you. Then, Saturday Nisarnavanaya program is available at the in our website. Actually it is happening on next Saturday. Coming Saturday we'll be conducting that. So I'll try to share with you the information of what you call going to do this time through the Zoom.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. My young adult, so let me see. So it came through email, right, Jennifer? I'll try to email it to you in case I couldn't find it out.
Okay, that's no problem, Bhante. You may email it to me and I can email it out to all the participants in case they are interested.
And all the Zoom programs actually are available in the Nisarnavanaya website. I'll share that link also. So many programs are there, conducted by myself, Pulpatti Dhammajiva and various other monks. So I'll share that whole description, whole information, just one link.
Wonderful.
Yeah. This Shalika has mentioned the other one. What she organized, that typically happens as the last Saturday. Nisarnavane program happens very much either in the first Saturday or the second Saturday. It's a in-person program, it's a retreat, so you have to come.
Okay,
Okay, I think that's all for the today's program. If there is no any other question, we can wind up the session.
Yes, there are no more questions, Bhante.
Okay, fine. Then I'll wind up the session. So we have spent a fair amount of time discussing Dhamma. And then we spend some time in discussing and learning Buddha's teaching. So with that, we were able to recognize or accumulate some merits. So we'll share these merits with all the past relatives, all celestial beings, and whoever in need of merits. We wish ourselves also to help these merits to attain path, fruition, nibbana. While keeping these good wishes in our mind, let's recite the traditional verses. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatang punya sampadang sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatang punya sampadang sabbe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatang punya sampadang sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Akasattha ca bhummattha deva naga mahiddika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkhantu sasanam. Akasattha ca bhummattha deva naga mahiddika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkhantu desanam. Akasattha ca bhummattha deva naga mahiddika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkhantu mamparam. Idam vo nyati nang hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idam vo nyati nang hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idam vo nyati nang hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.